Okay, Los Angeles Times had an article this week. A lot of these articles I'm sharing with you are just from the South because I was down there all week and reading those newspapers and haven't gotten the newspapers from the East Coast yet to read the articles on the murder of Sadat. But there's plenty of information coming down to Los Angeles also. The Los Angeles Times, October the 9th, has an article the CIA knew 3 weeks before that Sadat could be killed. Sadat plot uncovered 3 weeks ago. They believed it was broken, but the assassins that killed him were tied to the same conspiracy. And this is how the CIA was told of certain people that would kill Sadat. And they were taken to jail, and then the brother of one of the men in jail was involved in the killing of Sadat. But this article also goes into the fact, quoting it, American security experts were chagrined at the performance of Sadat's own bodyguards because they had been trained, his bodyguards, for a year in the United States as part of a CIA program to enhance his safety. They learned all kinds of procedures for controlling crowds, guarding exits, etc., etc. And all the articles say that he was not guarded. Now, if he got word of a plot 3 weeks ago to kill him, or if the high people in the Reagan administration knew and in the CIA that Sadat was going to be killed, or that there were forces that wanted to kill him and they knew who they were, they easily could have, as I say, put a bulletproof vest on the man at least, or given him some kind of examination of the people in the crowd. If he had recently imprisoned 1,600 people and the parade of the military men was to go by, everyone should have been searched, and just as the buildings at Dealey Plaza should have been searched the day John Kennedy was assassinated. The Warren Commission asked the head of Secret Service, if we have a visiting dignitary, do you have people in the windows that go through the windows or on the roofs? Yes. But the President of the United States? No. He doesn't get the same protection as a visiting dignitary. In this case, the President of Egypt didn't get any. Another important article from the LA Examiner. CIA was tipped off. They tipped off the White House and Ronald Reagan that Sadat plot would take place before the killing, one day before the killing. This is the Hearst newspaper. Less than 24 hours before Egypt's president was killed, top Reagan administration officials received a confidential CIA report that he was going to be murdered. Did they pick up a telephone? You bet they didn't. And his Secret Service, as I say, there were many articles just in the 1 week on the Secret Service, one from the L.A. Examiner, or the Evening Herald, rather. Security forces failed Sadat, said the eyewitnesses. They failed in every respect. One of the most shocking things was that the photographers at the scene of the crime, and many of you may have heard this, began to take pictures as soon as the gunfire started, and the security officers turned their weapons on the cameraman and announced no pictures. And as a matter of fact, one man was taking pictures for television, and I believe he was one of the people that was killed. That was one of the accounts on the radio. They shot or aimed guns at the people taking pictures. Now, after the Warren Commission expose of the assassination of John Kennedy and the use of the Abraham Zapruder film to show the location of the assassin that did the fatal headshot, I guess that this team learned no more pictures of people doing the shooting. We'll kill the cameraman, but we don't want any pictures of the recorded events. And also, it gives a chance for the people who did the murder to leave town and substitute doubles because you have no faces to identify. And if the security was really tight, and if this was a coincidence or a renegade group that didn't want Sadat murdered, if the level of conspiracy didn't go all the way to the top, they would welcome photographs that would show faces in the crowd by any cameraman to help solve the murder, to see if those people were still at large in Egypt to protect the next president. But the clue that this was a well-laid plan going back many, many months is the way the cameras were stopped from rolling so that the new president wouldn't have a way of knowing if the killers are at large, so he must know who the killers are. Many articles on the security and laxity of the security and the failure of the army to even to allow people to record what was happening. Now, the chronology of events always interests me. I like to take these events and more put them into tablets and charts and have an overlay of various years that pertain to the particular phenomena I'm studying. In terms of Egypt and the politics of Egypt, in 1952, Sadat got King Farouk out, and Great Britain out, and he was helping Nasser. He was just a young student, and he was helping Nasser at the time, and Nasser became the president of Egypt. In 1956 was the year that the CIA wanted to kill Nasser, I mentioned before. In 1970, Nasser died in Cairo, and then Sadat became the vice president. From 1974 on, the CIA gave him 20 to 25 million for his security. Now, some important events in this cycle of this last week pertaining to his murder are important. The first one in the chronology is Mubarak as of a week ago tonight on Sunday night. The question, the $64 question, is where do you think he was a week ago tonight or on the afternoon of last Sunday, the 4th of October? Well, we don't have much time, so I'm going to tell you, in case you don't know, he was at the house of George Bush, the Vice President of the United States, having dinner. He was in the United States consulting with Alexander Haig and with Henry Kissinger in the State Department. Allegedly, one reason to come to the country was that Sadat was insecure about his security and Mubarak was checking it out. Again, if that were true, there would have been a vest, there would have been searches, there would a bulletproof vest, there would have been blood, or an ambulance nearby, some kind of care in case anyone was shot. I don't believe Mubarak was in George Bush's house for security of Sadat any more than I believe that the Hinckley family doesn't know the George Bush family very well. And the night Ronald Reagan was supposed to be dead, George Bush's son was to have dinner with John Hinckley's brother. These things are not coincidences. And getting back to 1975, at the time of the oil crisis and raising the oil prices, and I'll do more details later, Henry Kissinger went to King Faisal in Egypt 2 days before he was murdered and wanted him to raise the oil prices for the Shah of Iran and for Rockefellers and Chase Manhattan that got billions of dollars deposited when the oil prices went up. Faisal didn't want to do it, and 2 days after Kissinger left, Faisal was dead. And 2 days after Mubarak left Washington and George Bush's house, Sadat was dead. I don't believe these are coincidences at all. Now, the October the 5th, this is the 4th, Mubarak was at the home of Bush in the United States, Vice President Bush. The next day, October the 5th, the CIA knew on that day that Sadat was going to be murdered. October the 6th is a Muslim holiday. It's a feast and a special day where they go to Mecca, so it's a good day to have an assassination if you want something else that's occupying the Muslims or other people at the time. And not coincidentally, it is the Jewish Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the year, so that if Israel were to be affected, or Begin, psychologically, certainly because of the peace that Sadat had made the overtures to make with Israel, and I'll go into some of that next week probably. This shooting took place the day of the Feast of Mecca and the celebration that the Muslims have, the Jewish holiday of Yom Kippur, and Sadat killed on that day, just timely with those two other days. And I think that's important. And by October the 10th, 4 days later, Alexander Haig was offering an arsenal of weapons to Egypt. The B-52s, the bombs, we're going to be training our troops over there. It's going to be a virtual takeover of the Egyptian government by the United States government to move in en masse like we did in Iran. And the way they did it was to, the excuse they could use, it didn't look like we were reaching into Egypt the way the Soviet Union was accused of going into Afghanistan. We created the excuse, as Khomeini said, Sadat was expendable to the United States government. They didn't need him anymore. So they could kill Sadat, and on the excuse that his new vice president needed us, the escalation began full scale. Another historic similarity to that was John Kennedy was killed in November 22nd, 1963, And Daniel Ellsberg described in the Pentagon Papers that 2 days later, the war in Vietnam escalated. There wasn't any provocation from the North to indicate that what was going to change in Vietnam after Kennedy was killed or what the North Vietnamese would do. The United States was ready with the CIA when they had murdered Diem a month earlier and Henry Cabot Lodge and the same Alexander Haig, the same team that are involved with the ruling the State Department today and their assassination squads today and through the whole era. They used Sadat's death to bring in the American troops. And if you don't believe it, read all the newspapers from this week and just photocopy every statement of Caspar Weinberg. He was on the aeroplane flying over to Egypt offering to bring over tons of equipment. So this is our move into the Middle East to take over where Iran left off. And the excuse was, we don't even need an excuse. The man wasn't even buried. And they were making deals on the aeroplane. And I'll talk about some of those conversations in case you didn't read it. One of the long articles was in the San Francisco Chronicle today described. It said, a public reaction in conservative Persian Gulf states to Sadat's death and funeral was masked because of the it coincided with Islam's holiest feast of Al-Adha. That was one of the articles. But also, you will read in the Examiner, in the Chronicle, if you live on the West Coast of the Eastern papers, the amount of military equipment that was offered within 5 days of the death of Sadat. The United States will begin a full-scale implanting of troops and weapons, just as we did in South Vietnam. And the death of Diem allowed that to take place. Excuse the death of Diem and John Kennedy. And then the death of Sadat allows us to get our big feet and our equipment and spread ourselves thin and go into more debt because the Egyptians can't pay for it. The economic status is terrible there. The unemployment's terrible. They get 1 million new babies every single year. No jobs, no way to feed them. We'll either give it to them so you taxpayers have to pay for this, all this equipment over there, or we'll loan it to them and there'll be these huge debts that they never can pay. But this will be the time for the United States to take his death and just move themselves over. Now, this was a coup. There's no doubt about it. I've listed the coups. It was in July. My goodness, it was that long ago. Of the coups since Ronald Reagan came into office. The attempted coup in Spain of the King and Queen in February. The March 1981 attempted coup in the United States involving George Bush and Alexander Haig in the Reagan shooting. March 1981, the attempted coup of Dominica, that small island involving Nazis, U.S. officials, and two of them were acquitted this week. Of course, the courts always tilt in favor of these groups. Two of those involved were acquitted. In May 1981, the attempted murder of Pope John Paul II because of his links to team members that were getting unglued. The murder of President Roldos in Ecuador, May of 1981. Airplane crash in March to May, the near coup of Italy, where Lucio Gelli was forced to flee to Argentina, a planned coup in Italy of the Nazis this year, right after the Reagan shooting and right after the Pope shooting, the murder of the president of Bangladesh in May of 1981. I'm reading these to you so you can get the idea that when I say there have been some coups since Reagan in his office, maybe you've forgotten them and don't remember them, and I think every time another head of state is murdered, I should read the list again. In June 1981, the near murder of the prime minister of Algeria. June 1981, the attempted coup in Greece to try and stop the elections, which should take place in the next week, and maybe Andreas Papandreou will become elected the head of that government. There was an attempted coup of June of 81. And then in June of 81, Operation June Bride, an attempted coup involving the same team members as Michael Sindona and Licio Gela to remove President and Mrs. Marcos from the Philippines and blame Libyans and Gaddafi so we'd have an excuse to go after Gaddafi. In May of 81, there was another attempted murder plot against the King and Queen of Spain that was halted. And the Reagans are entertaining them in Washington this week. I hope they don't get poisoned. After two murder attempts, since Reagan's in office, they're coming to the White House for dinner. That kind of takes a lot of guts, you know. March 81, the sabotage on the plane of Mrs. Gandhi, assassination attempt in the United States. And then the stories of the CIA plan to kill Gaddafi that Jack Anderson wrote about, that were in the various newspapers, the threat to kill Begin this last week, and the murder of Anwar Sadat. That is a lot of heads of states, or attempted heads of states, for a short period of time, you have to admit. And I know that these things will keep rolling. Now, as far as that coup goes, the vice president, as I say, of Egypt was in the home of the vice president of the United States 2 days before Anwar Sadat was murdered. That indicates to me the suggestion, in addition to the lack of security and the CIA knowing in advance and pretending to be the friend of Sadat, there was a tight coup. The second point is that all satellite pictures were kept from the Egyptians. We were told that he was probably killed, and Reuters said Sadat was killed. But they didn't want any demonstrations on the streets, because when Nasser died, there was a lot of emotional outbursts, and people who care, who get on the streets and cry and weep, begin to think about the ruler that they lost. And there was a lot of crying when John Kennedy was assassinated, and a long period of mourning. It seemed long, a couple of days till that funeral and the funeral march. But by not telling anybody till everyone was out of their offices, out of their businesses and stores, and whatever it was, they were off the streets and in their homes, they could mourn or talk silently, and the psychological effect of getting out on the streets was over. They had 12 hours to think about it. So they purposely kept back all information that Sadat was murdered until the Egyptians were home in their homes. The third point is they kept all pictures of the shootings out and down and would not identify by camera any possible people in the audience who were traitors, and that makes me believe it was a coup. The fourth reason I believe is the tight control of the funeral. We didn't have to have an international meeting. It was like the Bilderbergers over there. We didn't have to have Gerald Ford and Richard Nixon and Jimmy Carter and Prince Charles. They didn't have to be there, or even Begin. They could be there if they wanted to be there. But the funeral was for the president of Egypt, and his friends couldn't come to the funeral. They couldn't mourn. He wasn't buried where he wanted to be buried. They've dumped him right on a dirt spot where he was shot. He had specific requests in a will where he wanted to be buried. All of this was disregarded. He's a garbage person. There's a book that I never liked, I've referred to, that came out about the Manson family called The Garbage People. Well, we treat rulers or ex-rulers we don't want as garbage people. We put them in a plot of dirt. Here's where you're killed. Stay there. They put a piece of cement on his head, over where his head would rest, I guess, and that's it. His requests weren't considered. The people weren't considered. People went out to the funeral, and the army had cut them off. They cut off the streets. They shot into the air. It couldn't have all been for security. If it was that much security, just keep the heads of states home and have the funeral for the people. It was their president, but as article said in the newspaper, it wasn't as if it was their president. And that gets back to some of the quotations I've had on this program that you've seen in that marvelous movie Network about corporations being larger than countries and corporations taking over the role of countries, that there are no more countries. There is no more Sadat. There is no Egypt. It's an oil company. It's a corporation. Whoever makes money off of it owns it. And immediately after the shooting, of course, martial law was imposed. And then finally, the U.S. used this excuse to not only blame the terrorists and the Muslim Brotherhood that may or may not have been used, because the CIA also funds those groups, but they had this very tight martial law imposed, keeping the people ignorant, keeping them from knowing what happened, and controlling the cameras. That's the way the coups are run. If you want to know more about it, read Luttwak's book, Coup d'Etat, and follow the pattern. That's what happened in Egypt. Now, about corporations running countries, that people don't run countries anymore. There's an article in the Los Angeles Times, two articles this week, about a company called the Santa Fe International Corporation. It's not Santa Fe Railroad. It's the Santa Fe International Corporation. And the minute Sadat was murdered, on the air on NBC News, they were explaining that Santa Fe is the largest builder of oil wells and oil machinery and exploration or whatever engineering equipment is needed in the country of Egypt built for Anwar Sadat. Just as Bechtel builds for Saudi Arabia or the Fluor Company down in Los Angeles, Orange County, wherever, the largest company that builds for Egypt, the Santa Fe International Corporation, is that company that does the building, just as Brown and Root, the company that was behind LBJ, that allegedly was pocketing money, and Mrs. LBJ, Lyndon Johnson, some of you are too young to remember LBJ is that notorious vice president to John Kennedy. Brown and Root were selling all the cement and equipment for paving roads and airways down in Vietnam when the war was going. We have corporations who divide up the world and build part of the world, and the Santa Fe Corporation, the Santa Fe International, is the corporation that is the biggest in Egypt. Now, the same day that Anwar Sadat was shot, it came out in the Los Angeles Times that Kuwait, a country not sympathetic to Israel, they didn't send a representative to the funeral of Sadat because they don't like his policies. Kuwait bought the Santa Fe International Corporation. And I don't want that to get too complicated for you, but this is the largest direct investment by any Arab country in the United States of America. According to the Los Angeles Times, the Alhambra base, that's at Southern California, Santa Fe International was acquired by the Kuwait Petroleum Company for $2.5 billion. The acquisition dwarfs any previously disclosed direct investment of the United States by an Arab oil-producing nation. Now, Max Greenberg, who I know of the president of the Anti-Defamation League, asked about Kuwait buying up the Santa Fe, and he was very vague about what they would be doing in terms of boycotting Israel and so forth. But the largest builders in Egypt made a transfer the day that Sadat was murdered that Kuwait would buy this company. And the interesting part of this transaction, the most interesting part of all, is that among the directors of Santa Fe International is President Gerald Ford and Roderick M. Hills, former chairman of the Security and Exchange Commission. Now, our famous CIA director, William Casey, was head of the SEC, the Security Exchange Commission, and it would be interesting to know, is this international wheeler-dealer CIA organized crime contacts and so forth, Casey's knowledge role, or what was his role with Roderick M. Hills? Was that the link of the CIA to the payoffs that'll come later for killing Sadat and escalating the business interests and transferring the business? Now, the fact that Gerald Ford is on the board of directors of Santa Fe Corporation is shocking to me. I just see him sitting on that plane going over to the funeral, and the conversations that were repeated, unfortunately, so disgusting, of our ex-presidents when they're supposed to be going to the death of a man, a head of state, and the way they carried on that plane. And we'll go into that at another time. But Gerald Ford surfaced. He was a member of the House of Representatives. He was on the Warren Commission lying about who killed John Kennedy, covering up for the Nazis that killed Kennedy. He's on the board of directors of 20th Century Fox. The attorney there is Edward Bennett Williams, the attorney for John Hinckley Jr., who shot Ronald Reagan. Gerald Ford is with the Flying Tigers and Madame Chenault. He's on the head of many, many corporations. But Gerald Ford is on the board of directors of a corporation that now belongs to Kuwait that will be building Egypt under the new president in Egypt. There was a big fuss. The next day in the LA Times, inquiries asked in the wake of the Santa Fe purchase, and they're asking the Security Exchange Commission to check into the consequences of this transaction. Benjamin Rosenthal, a Democrat from New York, said, "We must halt the trading in Santa Fe stock. It could have potentially grave consequences to the United States' interests." So whether the CIA arms Gaddafi or Idi Amin or the PLO, the CIA faction that arms them, arms the terrorists, the Red Brigades, or is involved in transactions such as the purchase of this corporation by Kuwait just the day that Sadat was murdered. You see, if Gerald Ford didn't have such a role in the murder of John Kennedy and later covering up the Watergate and the assassinations that followed the John Kennedy assassination, if he wasn't instrumental and being one of the men that puts the lid on that, it wouldn't be so bad. But having a history going back to those days and then becoming a multi-millionaire after that interim where he was the appointed president by crook Nixon, he's now on the board of directors of Santa Fe, which is a Kuwait corporation, and will continue, I'm sure, to build in Egypt and make a lot of profit under this new administration, because they will guarantee them all the airstrips and all the building that they need to make Egypt simply an American base for corporations to build and sell us hardware that we have to make to give to them. And a lot of it will come out of our taxes because they won't be able to pay the debt. Speaking of Kuwait, it was just several years ago in 1978 that the described as a soft-spoken ruler, he died. He was 62 years old. He was buried 13 hours. Later, another sheikh came into power. There were a lot of changes of heads of states of fairly young men in the interim from 1976 to the present. And Kuwait did change governments in 1978. And by 1981, 3 years later, they have purchased the largest single purchase that has been admitted of the Middle Eastern, any Middle Eastern country, into the United States. Now, just I have about two more minutes about Alexander Haig and his wife and going to the funeral, the way he's pushing these weapons. They took Air Force One, which is a very dramatic thing to do. The three former presidents riding on the president's plane, Air Force One. Alexander Haig and his wife took the one single bedroom and put themselves to sleep and made the three ex-presidents sit in back on the chairs and talk to each other. I think it's kind of funny because Haig is such a miserable scumbag, and he puts them in their place. They appointed him. Reagan had him there when the ship was falling down, and Haig has had a high position, worming his way through every administration, jumping other posts that I've talked about before. So he and his wife took the bedroom, and the three former presidents had to sit up all night while they relaxed. And he also was leading the parade, the funeral parade. Our ex-presidents were way back in line with the crowd, so to speak, and Haig was right up front with the head of state. He's, for all the purpose, the president of the United States until we decide we don't want him any longer. There was a great picture of him at a news conference as soon as Sadat was shot, his finger in the air, pointing his finger, and of course yelling to Iran and Gaddafi, you know, all the things he was going to do and all the weapons we were going to send, and how Egypt is absolutely vital to our interests in the region, Haig said. And he warned Libya and the Soviet Union that the Reagan administration would look with great concern if they were interfering in this activity. He's acting as if he's trying to prevent any upset of a very free democratic government, and nobody should topple the vote. It's just one corrupt gang of wheelers and dealers working with another corrupt gang. And he has this very serious look as if Russia and Iran and Khomeini and Gaddafi will destabilize the Middle East. Finally, in summary of this part one of the Sadat killing, it isn't going to be our enemies, if we have enemies, that are going to destabilize the Middle East. It's us. The enemy is us, because we have put people in who have the specific goal of World War III. They are directly linked to the Fourth Reich, to the intent to continue the Nazification of the world. The leaders of this country have let you down. The professors, the radio newscasters, the television newscasters. There are good books on the subjects, but the media that gets into the airport stands, into the pulp magazines, is propaganda. If Germany spent $2.3 million in 1937, there's billions now. These people have let us down the drain. They have ruined our country economically. They've succeeded in dividing factions against each other. And when we get our smarts and when we combine and realize where the enemy is, we'll stop them. In Germany today, there was a demonstration of 250,000 people who do not want war in Germany the third time around. When we get our smarts, we'll be on the streets like them. In the meantime, it's time to close with this session on Anwar Sadat. I'll do more next week. And you take care. This is Mae Brussel in Carmel, California.